You understand that it is always my endeavor to bring you God's word. It is never my endeavor to bring you the word of Mike. It is my heart and my passion to share with you what is in the entirety of God's word and to not shy away from those things that are difficult, uncomfortable, or taboo. And so, unfortunately, we'll say it that way, today is one of those days that we are going to continue on in our series with our three little friends. If you were with us last week, or if you visited online last week, you know that we started a new series, just kind of a bridge between in the summer, kind of keep things a little bit light. Our three little friends are the three wise monkeys, and I think that we can learn something biblical from these three little wise guys. The first one that we spoke of last week was our hear no evil guy. And so we allowed him to cover, or he is the one who covers his ears, and we spoke about the voices that we listen to. The message that I hope that you took away from last week's message, no matter what you heard, is that you are loved. And you are loved by Christ. You are loved by the Creator of all heaven and earth. You are loved by Jesus in so much that while we are still sinners, He died for us. That was last week's message. So that was lesson one from our hear no evil friend. Now, this week, we are going to be taking a look at and visiting with our see no evil friend. And I think there are some biblical messages that I believe that we can learn from our little friend. And so today we are going to be talking about the message of the eyes and those things that we see. Now, it is been said that it is a, now these understand the statistics that I pulled are a little bit old, a little bit dated, but even at that point, we're staggering, and we know that they are only even more so today as we speak this moment. But it is said that it was a $57 billion a year industry around the world, with the U.S. enjoying the lion's share of that at about $12 billion. Unfortunately, I'm talking about the issue of pornography. $12 billion a year in our economy. It's an average of almost $55 per person in the U.S. As a matter of fact, if you didn't know, the U.S. porn revenue now exceeds the combined revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC. Their combined revenue at the time of the statistics was $6.2 billion. The pornographic industry is twice that. It is bigger than the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball combined. To put this into perspective, Microsoft, who sells the software, the operating system for all of the computers, a good chunk of them at least, Apple's made a good headway. Their annual sales is only about half of what the pornographic industry takes in. With, again, at that time, 4.2 million websites and 372 million web pages, about 12% of the entire internet, World Wide Web, daily pornographic search engine requests total 68 million per day. That's 25% of all search engine requests are searching for something inappropriate online. One quarter of all pornographic websites prevented users from exiting the site, simply being able to lock them in. There is a computer term, and if you know me for known me for very long, you know I'm kind of a computer nerd, and so this meant something to me, but it's called mouse trapping. You click on a site, and non-pornographic sites do this too. Matter of fact, I was on a website yesterday, a Christian website of all, and you get stuck in the ads. You ever have that happen? You click on a web page and an ad pops up and you click it to make it go away so you can leave, and you go to hover your mouse over the back button or the X and they've written a line of code in there that says, but wait, if you'll stay on the site now, we'll give you this, or we'll take an extra discount, or hey, before you leave, don't forget to sign up for our newsletter. And that's called mousetrapping. You're stuck in this kind of little walled-in area. All the way back in the year 2000, there were 88,000 pornographic sites. Today, and again, these statistics are a little bit old, but at the time of this, there were 4.2 million, and that was just a seven-year gap. That's a 47,000% increase. Last year, Hollywood produced about 400 movies. The pornographic industry released more than 11,000 movies. General Motors, who originally was one of the original creators, I don't know if you knew this or not, I learned this in prepping for this message, was one of the original creators of DirecTV. You know, DirecTV is the satellite company. When they owned DirecTV, they sold more graphic sex films than the publisher of Hustler, which is an adult magazine, according to the people who distribute all of these. They had more sales through that channel than through the printed magazine channels, sales channels, if you will. EchoStar Communication is the number two satellite provider, makes more money selling pornographic films than Playboy does with its magazines, cable, and internet business. The United States is now by far the world's leading producer of pornography, churning out hardcore videos at an astonishing rate of about 150 new titles a week. Do you know that there are more adult bookstores in our country, in America, the Christian nation, the place built on biblical values, God-fearing nation? There are more adult bookstores in the U.S. than there are McDonald's. And you think about, there's a McDonald's on every corner. To give you, again, perspective, I did an internship in ministry. Most of you know, I did it in downtown Detroit. It was just a place that I felt God called me to. I wanted to go someplace where I had an opportunity to reach those that had not maybe heard the gospel. The church that we served in had just prior to being a church was an adult movie theater. Next door across the street, much like these two buildings here, this building and the one where Joe is, the building next door is where the church offices were. They were upstairs. It was a two-story storefront location, very much like our building here. Upstairs was the church offices. On one end was the church's fellowship hall, if you would. It was what they called the outreach center. Next door to it and the entire rest of the building, which was probably four times the size of the outreach center, was an adult bookstore. We would park around back behind the building and go up these metal stairs to go into the office. I can't tell you how many times I saw men dressed in suits, ties pulled up to their necks, respectable men, go, oh, they're going to come see the church. But they'd walk around and go in the back door of the adult bookstore. I can't tell you how many times cars would pull in and park and the bumper sticker would say, follow me to such and such a church. They weren't going to church right then. And I hope people weren't following them. But that is unfortunately the state of the world that we live in today. See, just like those guys who pulled into the back of the building, the church hasn't been exempt from the curse that many Christians are caught up in, this deadly attraction to pornography. George Barna, if you follow statistics, and I kind of like to read them periodically, sometimes they get me down and I have to stop reading them for a while. because you go, well, is that really right? George Barna says that 28% of born-again Christians feel it is acceptable to view pornographic material. As many as 1 in 4 pastors struggle with or are addicted to pornography. Unfortunately, we see that unfold regularly in the news. And it breaks my heart. Over and over and over again. Josh McDowell, if you know who he is, he is a youth communicator, basically retired now, but was a fantastic youth communicator, wrote lots and lots of books on youth ministry and youth culture, says that virtually all, quotes, all teen boys look at it. Each and every month, there are about 50 million first-time visitors to adult websites. Now, this isn't just exclusively a guy problem, although it's predominantly male-led, unfortunately. The breakdown of female and male visitors to pornographic sites is about 72% male and 28% female. Again, this is a little bit older stat. That number has changed significantly. As of today, as far as I am aware, now I'm quoting a statistic by memory, but as far as I am aware, the last I heard, it is more like a 60% male, 40% female. It is almost dead even anymore. It is still predominantly a guy problem. But see, it's usually the ladies that end up paying the price for it, men. They pay the price in shattered trust, broken homes, deadly comparisons, and even being abused sexually, hurt by fathers who fell into the trap or husbands who are playing out fantasies that can never come true. Do you ever think about, though, the other victim of this issue? It's not just the people who watch it, it's people that are involved in it. The exploitation, we know now that a large part of the stuff that is produced online is produced through exploitation. What do we mean by exploitation? We're not talking about holding a gun to people's heads. We're not talking about making a situation where there's a life and death. We're talking about, hey, I'll give you $50 if you'll do something stupid. Hey, I'll give you another $100 if you'll do something a little more stupid and a little more inappropriate. And it just goes on from there. You know, this is, again, one of those difficult messages that is never pleasant to deal with, but nonetheless has to be discussed. There's a saying that the eyes are a window to the soul. Matter of fact, there's scripture that talks about the eyes bearing truth and things of that nature. And we know that there is a battle for our souls. What we probably don't realize is that that battle comes through our eyes very often. Of course, there's other ways, there's other things and other ways that the enemy wants to attack us, whether it be through emotions or whether it be through other people and their words, their ears. But single-handedly, one of the most dangerous is through our eyes, because that gets deep down into where? Into our heart. We allow those things that we see to get deep, deep down into our heart. See, because when we allow it to get down into our heart, it gets down into the core of who we are. See, all of this has gotten worse as days go on. Way back, way, way, way back, there were stories, and you remember the Harlequin novels that were just a little tantalizing, or guys that you would read the printed story without any images. And then the stories began to have images, and then the images, the books and the magazines were just images. and then video came along and movies, and then the internet came, and all of that was available at the click of a button. See, before you had to go someplace. You had to make eye contact with somebody to indulge in this kind of stuff. But the internet made it fast, free, anonymous, and with no immediate consequences. They did a poll at one of the Promise Keepers events before it ended. 53% of the men at a Promise Keepers event, that's half. Half of the room, plus a few, had admitted to looking at pornography that week, the week of the event. So they knew they were going to go to a men's rally and band of brothers and join in and get connected. But they couldn't overcome the temptation that goes along with all of that. But here's the thing, and I don't want to harp on that anymore. The good news is, as great as the problem is, our God is greater still. As much as the enemy wants to attack with all kinds of fury, as much as the enemy wants to rob, kill, and steal and destroy the lives of our young men and young ladies, our God is more capable, more able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. If you have your Bibles, I know this is really late into the message where we normally jump right into Scripture. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to visit verse 27 through 30. As always, it will be on the screen behind you. However, there are printed Bibles in the seats in front of you if you do not have a Bible of your own. We would love for you to take one of those Bibles if you don't have one of your own. Write your name in it, take it home, make it your own, our gift to you. If you have somebody that does not have a Bible, you know somebody, you're like, hey, Pastor Mike, I have my own Bible, I'm good. But you know what? You need somebody, you know somebody who doesn't have a Bible, we want you to take one of those orange and brown Bibles, I want you to write their name in it and go give it to them as a gift from you. You don't need to put our name on it at all. Take that as our gift from you. We will always give away Bibles. We will always give away copies of God's Word. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27 is where we're going to be. Now, your passage may read a little differently than mine. We'll stop at verse 30. It says, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, everyone who looks on at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of the body parts of your parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. There is a passage that deals with the modern things of life. If you remember last week, I said, in particular young people, I said that you very often think that the Bible doesn't talk about everything. But I posit to you that the Bible will answer and can answer and does answer every question that you can imagine. Whether it gives a direct answer or it gives a big picture construct. This is one of those spots where Jesus starts off in this passage and he says, you've heard it said, and he goes on. I think we could stop here and go dot, dot, dot. Because there's some more to it than what is just on the surface. He says, you've heard it said, and it's more of a technical phrase than it is anything else. What this means, it says, is if you were to break it down, it says, you have the knowledge on what I am about to tell you, but I'm going to give you some wisdom and understanding beyond what you think you know. That's what that passage is really saying if you were to break down the original language of it. Knowledge by itself is good. But knowledge by itself ultimately can kill us. Because it'll puff us up, it'll choke us out. We'll begin, the Bible says, what man does what is right in his own eyes, in the end it leads to destruction. Why is knowledge by itself dangerous? Because it makes you unteachable. It makes us all-knowing. And so Jesus goes and he adds wisdom and he adds understanding to the knowledge that the people that are he's speaking to already has. If you wanted to take more of a literal understanding of what the passage says, it would say something like this: I say to you that everyone who looks repeatedly or consistently, again, Greek word literally says looks with ongoing looking, at a woman with lust, and this is again what lust really means, is with passion rising up in you until it boils. To that person, he has already committed adultery in his heart. So what does this look like in modern day, guys, girls? We're walking down the street. We're having a perfectly lovely day. It's spring. The weather is beautiful. We have done the shopping that we have set out to do with our spouse. We're walking hand in hand. The day couldn't get any better. And then he or she walks by. You know, that person that's just kind of perfectly symmetrical. They say in society that we're attracted to people who have symmetry. And he's got muscles. And she's got an hourglass figure. She's got flowing hair. He's got tight jeans on. And we take a glance. The glance in and of itself is not wrong. It's what happens after that that becomes the issue. Because see, now we're faced with a choice. Do we look again? Do we take a second glance? Another look? Unfortunately, we have trivialized this in memes and funnies, and we've done the whole double take as a comedy routine. But we have a choice to make. Do we take the second look, or do we keep our eyes focused ahead and on those things that God has already provided to us? We have the opportunity to shut down that temptation. Or are we going to do what the passage says and take another look with ongoing looking? Because again, that's what our passage says. So a couple things I want us to do very quickly, and we're going to move quickly through these. Number one is I think we need an understanding of the nature of what this is. The nature of what pornography is. It is a mind, imagination, fantasy game played primarily in the secrecy of our mind. It leads to mental lusting and after the opposite sex. It is condemned by the Lord in our passage. See, the real issue of pornography is the issue of lust. I heard somebody use the illustration or the example that lust is like a man in a desert dying of thirst, parched, throat closed up, and begging for salt. That doesn't make sense, does it? It's the inordinate desire for something that may be legitimate in the right context. But lust is illegitimate because, unlike love that sacrifices to meet somebody else's needs, it sacrifices to satisfy its own greed. It is indeed an invisible sin. Pornography is based on deception. The entire industry that produces this garbage is based on deception. They promise something that they can't deliver, See, here's the thing, guys and gals, unfortunately anymore. The people in those magazines, the people in those movies, in those videos, in those pictures, the reality is they wouldn't want you. They wouldn't want us, regular people. They wouldn't give us the time of day. They wouldn't say hello if we sat down across from them at the table at a restaurant. They probably wouldn't even like us very much because of the personality within themselves. They probably don't think we're cute. They probably don't think we're worth being desired. Now, that's not damning to you. That is to the situation at a whole. You see, pornography, lust is a completely one-sided relationship. All she wants, all this person cares about is your money. Now, let me tie this back for a moment. The devil comes like a roaring lion, seeking to kill, blank, and destroy. Steal. That's what this is. It's a theft of not only your money, but of your heart, of your eyes, of who you are. This plays out in other places in society too. I was at McDonald's last night getting a soda, waiting on a hamburger. And somebody had left one of the menu thing, the little nutrition charts that they have. Somebody had left it on the table. And I was reading through kind of the fat and cholesterol content. I was looking at the health index thing that is on there. And this thought came to me in light of what we were talking about today. How come we trust an industry with our food and health who puts its bottom dollar over my well-being? Because that's what they do. I mean, they push burgers and fries, and as wonderfully yummy as they are, and obviously I've had a few, as wonderfully delicious as burgers and french fries and soda pop and milkshakes and all of those things are, McDonald's doesn't care one bit, ultimately, about our health. They're concerned about their bottom dollar. Now, before you think I'm demonizing McDonald's, I'm not. That's business. Yes, it's to make a profit. We want to help people, but business is to make a profit. We need to do it in a balanced way. You've heard me talk about business and faith before. But nonetheless, this plays out in all kinds of places. The people who build these pornographic websites and magazines and all that stuff, they do not have our good in mind. They are not interested in our welfare or the welfare of our marriage. They are not interested in the impact of our children or their eternity. All they care about is your money. Why? Because, again, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's simply a tactic of the enemy. Pornography feeds a legitimate appetite. Let me tell you how you can identify Satan. He comes when you're tired, he comes when you're worn out, and he makes the most reasonably balanced requests that you know you really shouldn't agree to. Sexual desire is legitimate. It is God-given, and it is a good thing. Because it is good and it is proper and right, it is something that we are easily susceptible to. But we put it in the wrong context, and the enemy comes in and takes it away. Ultimately, pornography accomplishes a satanic purpose. Now, you know, I don't spend too much time on the whole angels and demons and spiritual warfare and things, but it's real. We will talk about it. Matter of fact, it's in the list for later this year. Again, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It is what the enemy wants. Ultimately, if allowed to go untethered, it will cost us our marriage, it'll cost us our children, it'll cost us our ministry, cost us our calling, it'll cost us our job, our career, our reputation. It will ultimately, because of the way that of its nature, to go deeper and darker and more destructive, it will leave us with a criminal record that will never be able to be wiped away from our criminal slate, but to say nothing of our own conscience. And don't ever buy the lie that it helps with your intimate relationship with your spouse. Because all it does is divert our attention away from that. It diverts our attention away from who God set apart for us. Very quickly, I want to look also at the pattern of addiction that happens with this. There is early exposure, that first time that you're exposed, you're still in shock. There's the intentional pursuit where you intentionally engage or pursue, you want more. This is played out when we're young men or young women, and we see that, again, we read that statistic earlier about first interactions. This is that it happened to come across the screen, and I saw the fleeting image. And then all of a sudden, I didn't realize, ooh, I can see that on there. Uh-oh. Wonder if there's more. Innocent curiosity. I was just speaking with a mother this week, and we were talking about iPhones and how for our children, one of our boys has an iPhone. And before you can argue back and forth whether they need one or not, we lock ours down. There's parental controls on it. Unfortunately, most parents don't seem to understand this or know this. But we lock ours down. We turned off the web browser. We turned off all the internet stuff. And it becomes basically a phone. They can text message. They can FaceTime, which uses the data. They can FaceTime with us. They can do the find us so that if they need to know where we're at, are we almost home, where are we at, they can do that. But all the rest of that is blocked. And when we do have access to it, we turn off the regular web browser. We turn on a web browser that is filtered, that goes through a family filter, a family protection. Not only that, I have it turned on at the web company that to not deliver it, that kind of material to that device. Well, to all of our devices, actually. And unfortunately, this particular parent didn't know about those options. And dad happened to be looking through the phone and found some things that he probably shouldn't. Now, they had a wonderful discussion, and it was all fine, and they believe that it was just, it happened across. But now that's happened. That's that those first couple of steps. But see, if left unattached and unencumbered, then it becomes into that primary addiction. This is number three if you're taking notes. You find yourself aggressively pursuing this secret habit. You realize that it's not healthy, but you suspect that there's nothing you can do about it. You've tried and failed. You have prayed these deep, sobbing prayers of forgiveness, but it's not helped. After the primary addiction comes spiraling bondage. You see yourself falling. You're going deeper and deeper into it. Your shame is only suppressed by the ever-increasing appetite for more and for worse. See, it only works in one direction. You can't go back to one of those lower levels once you've hit this spot. You never get to the point where that hunger, that desire is satisfied. After spiraling bondage becomes total desensitization, emotionally, visually, spiritually, we are now bored with the things that previously would have made us blush. That's the problem with our society today. We've lost our ability to blush. Things that used to be embarrassing, things that used to cause us to hide our eyes, to cover our ears, to cover our mouth. Now, no big deal. And then, of course, there's the ending, and that is acting out sexually in deviant manners. Again, we're going to finish up. God always gives us a path to victory, though, doesn't he? I know that today's message has been difficult. I know it's not been pleasant. I know that it is not a topic that we like to talk about. But God always gives us a way out. Matter of fact, he tells us that in Scripture. There is no temptation that is common to man, but that the Son of Man doesn't give you a way out of, an escape from. Mark Twain said, there are several good protections against temptation, but the surest of these is cowardice. Just being afraid to go there, knowing what your husband or your spouse would say. So there's all kinds of cures and all kinds of things that people want to push on us. Again, you understand my position on self-help and those kinds of things. I think there's great books out there by great godly men and women who do wonderful work in helping us cover different issues that are in our life. But there is none so powerful as the Word of God. So the first thing I think that we need to do in getting God's victory or finding God's pathway to victory is to make a heart choice. Deliverance is, in the end, a matter of the heart. There's lots and lots of things that we can do, but if we don't have a genuine desire to be delivered, none of it makes a hill of beans. Psalm 101:3 says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Job 31:1 says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust upon a young woman. Insert whatever gender opposite you are. Second thing I think we need to do is to recognize the triggers. See, there's all kinds of triggers that we have. And men and women are different. For ladies, it could be depression, boredom, loneliness, low self-image, or the giving up of hope on a happy marriage. And so they turn to the internet. Do you know that women are twice as likely to begin an affair through a chat room, something along akin to the likes of Facebook, than men are? Because it accomplishes two things. It gives the emotional stimulation, the emotional connection, while also providing the rest. There's no working towards it. There's no physical part of it. For guys, the triggers can be different. It can be stress, financial pressure, anger, depression, desire, the eyes. But see, the end is the same for both. It's guilt, it's shame, it's loss of self-worth, and loss of self-respect. We need to recognize the triggers. We need to identify the patterns. Normally, there's some pattern in our life that happens, and we continue to follow that pattern, and then that pattern becomes ingrained in who we are. We need to create an alternate habit. We need to find alternate things to do. Matter of fact, there was, anybody old enough to remember Hee Haw? I used to love watching Hee Haw with my grandma. We would sit on the couch and we would watch Hee Haw. And one of the funniest skits, and it's still repeated to this day, people still do this all the time. One of the funniest skits was when the old Doc Campbell, I think was his name, patient comes in, he says, Doc. He said, I broke my arm in two places. Doc says, well, stay out of them places. Or the variation of it is, Doc, it hurts when I do this. Don't do that. We have to develop alternate ideas, alternate habits. 2 Timothy 2:22, if you can't remember this, it is 2 Timothy 2:2. So lots of twos. It says, flee all youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There's two parts to that. Number one is to flee. The second is to pursue those things, righteousness, faith, and love. But here's the part that most people miss. one of the things that makes me madder than anything is to hear somebody say, oh, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Technically true. Remember Mama's Family? Remember that show? There's a meme out that says that Mama said, she said, well, Mama, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian, one of the kids, Benton, said. She said, well, you don't need a parachute to jump out of an airplane either, but it sure helps. If you picture her saying that. See, the second part of this says, flee, but pursue righteousness with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Go find somebody to partner with. Go find somebody to hold hands with, and I mean, if necessary, literally hold hands with, so that they can encourage you, they can lift you up, and they can become your accountability people. Again, that's the next piece of this, is to set up genuine accountability. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just because we made the decision to leave temptation doesn't mean that temptation is going to leave us. Sometimes we need that extra encouragement. Sometimes we need that extra help. And frankly, sometimes we need somebody to turn us around and kick us in the backside and say, knock it off. We set up that accountability. And finally, we find victory in the pursuit of God. Not in the success, but in the pursuit. We started off saying it was an issue of the heart. God knows and has the power to deliver you. But we bathe the issue in prayer. We cry out to God. And if we fall, we get back up. And we keep moving forward. We ask him for deliverance. We bathe it in prayer. We start the process over again and stay on that pathway that he provides. For a lot of us, this is something that has touched us, whether it's through a family member, whether it's through personal relationship, personal struggle. Most of you know I've talked many times about my uncles. I have two uncles that are addicted to pornography. And from the youngest age that I can remember, I remember that being part of their life. And it affects lives in a deep, deep way. Our three little buddies are a reminder sin is in the world. Death comes by sin. And so sin is on every one of us. Romans chapter 5. But if we can protect our ears, we filter what comes in, we hear the message that in so much that God loves us, that he died for us, that we guard our eyes, we don't set our eyes on anything that is immoral, inappropriate. We guard what we allow the enemy to place before us. He's faithful and just to forgive our sin. He's faithful and just to protect us. Next week, we'll talk about our mouth and those things that we speak, those things that come out of our mouth. Because we hear that God loves us, but when it gets processed here, what comes out here? And that's where we're going to spend our time next week. I appreciate much your endurance, your indulgence in speaking of a very difficult subject. But again, a subject that I think the church too often does not discuss. Moms and dads, I hope that you will take this as an opportunity for those that are listening, that continued to listen with you, to have a conversation about something that is not pleasant. and to deal with it now before it becomes an issue and before you're caught up in the six cycles, the six parts of addiction. See, victory over the enemy is our birthright. When we were born, when that old man, old woman was buried and raised to new life, we put off the old, we brought in the new. Victory was our birthright. Victory is our right as a child of God. And that is who we are. But victory is ultimately our choice. God gives us that ability. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. We thank you for the fact that you give us your word, that you have not been timid, you have not been silent on these issues that are difficult to deal with, Father, but you have been willing to give us the sets of guidelines, the parts, the pieces that are necessary for our lives to be victorious. Father, as we leave this place today and we go out and we go into a lost and dying world that has no care in the world about what it shows or what it sees or what it exposes your children to, Father, I pray that you would divert our eyes, guard our hearts. We ask these things in your name. Amen.